One of the central topics that often comes to the fore when we study the Aseret HaDibros are the distinctions between the two. Between that was the Tana HaKadosh and the Tana HaKadosh Tana. So that issue I addressed last year in the Shir that I gave on Thursday night. Tonight I would like to explore an aspect of that, but primarily focused on Maiva Hasina. I want to talk about some of the rather dramatic events that occurred in Maiva Hasina. What exactly the Yesod that emerges in Maiva Hasina? And we're going to explore, hopefully, we'll have enough time to do it. A very famous comment of the Rambam. Of the Rambam in Neger Seman, and more or less the position of the Ramban, also described in the three places of the Chumash, the Sefer HaMitzvahs. First, I'll just take an overview of the Aseret HaDibros. That which is found in Yisro, which we have here on the first four pages of this handout. So the first two pages more specifically, but then we'll see both the Ramban and the Rambam. On page number one, the Torah presents in the beginning of Perek Yutes, the Hakdama, the preamble to Kabbalah Satara found in Yisrael. And there we have more or less direct guidelines that are given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. Take a look at you can see in the Psukim, Yudbeis, Yudgimel, the second section after Moshe Rabbeinu is told essentially to transmit the message that Matan Torah could lead to incredible heights, namely, Sgula Mikola Amin, Mamech Skwani and Goy Kodosh. These are obviously very majestic heights that one could achieve as a result of connecting through the Torah of Rosh Hashanah. The Torah continues in the second section that they're told to make preparations. Also, the Allah and Rabbis inspired by Sugi and Masas Shabbos and also Gazal. And the Torah is also described by Hakbalot. Essentially, the focus is the Hachana prior to Matan Torah. Then we have the backdrop for Matan Torah, Kol HaShofar, Hold It, Hosek Beod, and Pasuk Yutes, Moshe Daber, Velokim Yanenu Vekol. And then finally, the Torah right before Matan Torah. Once again, the idea of Hagbalot, of the lines of demarcation that to be set up. I think I spoke about it in the past, the notion that what is Kedusha? So Kedusha is not this notion that somehow people have of we're going to become angelic, we're going to be somehow floating in the stratosphere. That's not what Kedusha is, but Kedusha consists of self-discipline. That's not bad rights in Parshas Kedusha, Kadesh Asmecha v'mutaloch, that even in areas where the Torah permits us to engage in eating, drinking, and the like, talking, etc., once you do so, not with frivolity, but once you do so, not in a frivolous way, but in a very concerted, self-disciplined, self-restrained, self-contained kind of fashion. That's really the definition of Kedusha al-Pi Halacha. Then the Torah presents Aseret HaDibros, again on page one, and then we really have the dramatics, the Cholam Rov and Sakolos, Yesal HaPidim, and the like. Okay, that's more or less the presentation that we have in Yisrael. I'm not talking now about the distinction between the language, the nusuf, the content that's found in Yisrael and Vaishana. That was the subject of another shir. I also spoke about also Sugi Baba Kama. And the Torah itself has Kayadu Alachem, differentiation between Shabbos that's mentioned in Yisrael, Shabbos mentioned in Vaishana, and a number of other nuanced distinctions. On page number two, which is this week's Pasha, in Vaishana, you have more or less the presentation. And here it's somewhat, I would say, remarkably different in many, many respects. You don't have all the hachanos that were already mentioned prior to that in Parshas Yisroel. But here, the Torah focuses on, take a look at the psukim that I underline, and the language is also very, I believe, in many respects, I would say, certainly quite expressive. This is the subject of a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the subject of the Gemara Menachos. Namely, not to forget the Torah that we study. We have to do our best to retain it, but the Torah speaks in very alarming kind of term, analogy. Somehow the impression that the Torah wants us to essentially absorbed from the Maimon HaSinai experience, and one that should be embedded, should be etched into our persona. It's one that remains indelibly etched in our persona. Kol Yimei Chayecha. And the object as well as Vodata Lebanecha Lebanecha. The Ramban right here, we'll see in a few moments. Ramban understands it to be a mitzvah say, a mitzvah no say. It's both the positive commandment to transmit the Maimon HaSinai experience. This element of Maimon HaSinai, the regesh of Maimon HaSinai, or more specifically in the language of Ramban, the esh of Maimon HaSinai. That's what the Torah stresses. Yeah, I underlined it many, many times. That is what should be somehow conveyed. So if you wish, if you want to just contrast even in a very oversimplified kind of fashion, Yisrael, we have the hachana, whatever preparations are required for Matan Torah. And I would say the normative aspects of Matan Torah are presented in Yisrael. Here, the focus is more on the regesh, on the emotive, on the emotional, on the experiential, on another element, another level, if you will, outside of seichel, outside of intellectual acuity, even perhaps more significant than intellectual acuity, is the element of regesh, the element of emotion and commitment that's embedded deep in the nifchei nafsha b'libo shel adam regarding Matan Torah. That's what the Torah stresses over here. And again, reading those sukim, v'odatu l'manecha l'manecha, this is what we should give across. Yom Hashem amato v'Hashem alokecha v'choreg, Hashem said, ha'kele yisav v'Hashmeim es d'roroi, Hashem yilmudu l'yiralsi. What should emerge from this experience is Yir HaShamayim, and v'yasminem yilaveinu, this is what we have to get across to our children. And the Torah goes on and describes Yahor Boer Ba'ish Shavim Shamayim by Dever Hashem Alechem B'tocha Eish, and that's the focus. When Nishmar Zebelan Afshel Seichem Gilah Risim Kol Tzmunam Yom Dibra Hashem Alechem B'chari B'tocha Eish, that's the marker for Eish HaTorah, that organization. Undoubtedly, it's Pashas Boes Chavim. And it ends, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlohu Kel Kano. This element of Hashem as being a ball of fire. And the Torah goes on, that's that the Kriya that we then, the Gemara has in Megillah, the Kriya that we read on Tisha B'Av follows, So obviously Yisrael is when we were still in Chutz Aretz, and Dafka was started as an Eretz Yisrael, and now we have to give over to our children, to our grandchildren, and it speaks about Bakosha Singal, Hashem is brought going into the middle column over here, again on page 2, it speaks about the ups and downs, the zigzags, hopefully Hashem the Torah again, three times the Torah describes Matan Torah. I don't have time now to analyze why in Baschanan there's a need for three times or a tripartite presentation of Matan Torah. The Ramban, Kedarko Bakodesh deals with that issue, but the Torah goes on to say, the days that remind us days of yore. Was there ever such an event that occurred? An event that was absolutely sensational. What are we referring to? Of course, Matan Torah, Maimon HaSinai. Hashem Ha'om Kol Elokim Medaber Mitoch Ha'esh Kasher Shamata Ato Bayechi. To experience such an event. I maintain that I saw this on an ongoing basis. When I heard the Shur Rav Soloveitchik, it was to me like Matan Torah on an ongoing kind of basis, on a daily basis. And certainly when he gave these public shiurim that were tshuva drushes or shiurim, yotzei shiurim, I felt as if literally I was catapulted to HaSinai, to Maimon HaSinai, and that's what the Torah describes over here. Oh, and Yisrael, Elokim, Navo, Lokach, Zol, Goyim, Bikarev, Goy, B'masos, B'yosos, Tu, B'mofesim, B'milchama, and on Atahore, Sol, Adas, Ki, Hashem, Elokim, Enon, B'vado. So we see that the sense that comes out of Eschanan is completely different than that which emerges from Pasha Yisrael. Just the reading of the text clearly indicates. Min HaShomayim, Mishmiach, Lo, Eskolo, Le'asreko. Repeated this theme again and again and again. Then we have, of course, the actual Aseret HaDibros. And finally, if you look in the third column, that which occurs after Aseret HaDibros, Es Adorim Ha'Eleh, Dibre Hashem, El Kol Ka'atam Ha'or, Mitoch Ha'esh, El Anon Barofel. Once again, that Esh aspect seems to be the focus of the entire Pashas Va'eschad. And by and now they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say that we're afraid we're going to be consumed by this all enveloping fire. So one gets the sense just by reading the simple Pshuto Shel Mikra, that clearly the very shtimum that exists here is that completely different than that which is found earlier in Pasuk Yisus. That's my way of just introduction to the topic that I hope to talk about. momentarily. Now look at page number 3. You see the Ramban. The Ramban has both in his Perash al Torah and the Ramban in the Hasagos in the Sefer HaMitzvos. You're aware, all of you, the Ramban wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos. Matter of fact, many Rishonim indulge in this. There are those people who have a minhag at Shavuos night. I remember growing up, that's what many people did. They actually would study different types of Sefer HaMitzvos the entire Shavuos night. Because everyone takes the Gemara and Makis, whether you understand that Gemara literally 630 mitzvahs to give to Moshe from Sinai, or the Ramban writes defending the Bahag. Bahag claimed there are thousands of mitzvahs, even though the Gemara says in Makis, is tying mitzvahs, now the Moshe from Sinai. So clearly the Ramban says the Bahag did not take that literally. And you have many, many hundreds, if not thousands of mitzvahs. And now many people study different lists. That's what they do on Shavuos night. I don't know if that's your practice, but that's what I saw as a youngster. That was very, very common. I think today it's less common. But whatever the case is, so here the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam in the Rambam's count. The Rambam has a list, 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban also has a list. And the Ramban disagrees with a lot of the items that are found in the list. But the Ramban thinks that he should have counted and didn't count, or things that he counted. And whatever the case is, one of the most famous ones is the fact that Ramban contends is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam forgot to count it and say, but mitzvahs. Again, the answer to that question is given by many. That's a famous discussion among the Gdolei HaRishonim and Achronim. So one of the mitzvahs that the Ramban claims the Rambam forgot to count is the mitzvah of Maamar HaSinai. There's a mitzvah of Maamar HaSinai, said the Ramban on top of page 3. Sheninamnu shelo lishkach Maamar HaSinai. Lo nosir oso midatenu. But now I'll forget the HaSinai experience. Our eyes and our hearts should be there. This is the pasuk in Veschanan. To convey that experience to our children, to our grandchildren. When the Ramban is a mitzvah that we have to transmit, clearly, as I said, not necessarily one which is of a sentient, intellectual kind of nature, but rather more emotive, experiential in nature. And he goes on, and the part that I did not underline, and the Ramban says this many times, repeats this idea. Let's say it was just a Navi who would come to us and present this. Even though he concretized his position by producing signs and miracles, now what happens? Let's say another Navi comes along and literally contradicts that first Navi and also gives an answer to the face. So then what would happen? Then we would have ambivalence. We would have all kinds of doubts, knowing doubts. Who is right? First Navi, second Navi, Alzeh Omar. That's what the Torah says. Namely, that Hashem is Barak presented himself to us at Maamar HaSinai. Without any mediation, namely a direct communication between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So anyone who denies the MS of this Maamar HaSinai will be able now to literally contradict that person. No also Mofes of any Navi is going to have any impact. We ourselves know, because we witnessed, we all were present in HaSinai, so that Navi who says otherwise clearly is a Navi Sheker. Zeu Shomba B'Maimel Ahu V'Gam B'Choy Yamin Al-Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nebuah was established at that point in time. We'll see that in the Rambam shortly as well. The Rambam Yisodi Atzer, a famous Rambam. And then he goes on and indicates that's exactly what the Torah describes also in Dvarim. Kiyoko B'Kir B'Chol Navi Yocholim Chalom. And he gives you a nice May face. And of course, it's there. Rabbi Lazara, Lo Sishmal Dibi Anavi Ahu. And then he goes on to say, and the Rambam himself, and then he quotes the Gemara in Kedusha. I'm not getting into it, but one expression, which is a very famous expression. Many, many decades ago, I heard Hagdoin Babot HaGifta Zatzal of Shiva tells, he actually cited this expression. The Ramban essentially is telling you what is exactly the essence. What's the gist of Bashis Vaschanan? It's called in the Psukim. What are we supposed to convey to our children? Limud Emunah Satera. More significant or just as significant as Limud Batera, just as significant as the content of Talmud Torah, is also Limud Emunah Satera, teaching Emunah and essentially instilling this very strong commitment of Hashem is Barach, Zveikus and Hashem is Barach, Emunah Satera, and that's essentially what Parshas V'eschanan is all about. Now, if you look a bit further, actually, I quoted the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, but I'm not going to go into it on the page number four. Here you see the Ramban again. On the Pesukim Raki, Shomalachos, Shmonash, Ramob, Tishkach, Zavor, Shavayin, Nefelos, he cites Rashi. Rashi has a very simple understanding of the Pesukim, which is the simple truth of Shomikra. Rashi says, if you forget them, so then, and you might, as a result, distort things, so then you won't be wise people. But if you don't forget it, and you do it properly, you'll call Chacham, the Vedim. Ramban doesn't like that. Whatever the Ramban's Hasson is, I'm not discussing that either. But he writes, through mine, I'm interested. So the Ramban has both an assay and a los assay. A positive commandment to transmit the Maimon Hasina experience, the experience of Amuna, the Eish of Torah, the fire of Torah, and also Allah. There's also a negative commandment. I'm warning you, you have to know exactly what the source of everything is. The source is Maimon Hasina. That which we saw, the Kodos, the Lapidim, Kvodo, Godo, Mitoch HaEsh, and that's what we should transmit to our children. And then on the next paragraph, directly below, Rabban says again, he tells you, besides the law, Mitziva Mitzaseh, there's also a positive commandment, Shinodia Balachol Zareinu, Bidor Lidor, Kol Mashayasham Birio Bishmiya. This is talking about primarily the experience of theophany. And here again, he reiterates that which he said earlier, because if it would be just a Navi that would be involved and another Navi would contradict him, so then, of course, that is a problem. But once we have an experience that we witness directly from Hashem is Barach, so then, obviously, there's no way we're going to contradict that which Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us through his agency the Torah was given. So, essentially, the question is, why did the Rambam, or was the Rambam, did he completely decide to excise, namely to remove from Sefer HaMitzvahs, according to Ramban, he did. He should have counted Maimon HaSinai, and he did not do so. So let's examine the Ramban, and the Rambans are found in the Geras Teiman. The Geras Teiman, this letter of the Ramban, as all his letters, anyone who wants to marvel at the Ramban, Mishnah Torah, sometimes it's for great Torah scholars who can marvel at Mishnah Torah, but simple people like myself, you read in the Geras of the Rambam, and you are absolutely, I don't know how to describe it. You are simply, I would say, almost totally and completely metamorphosed by the godless of the Rambam, just in a simple letter that he writes. And take a look at this letter, which is a fascinating. I just took part of the Yeres Teban. This is the background I'm not getting into right now. The Rambam is discussing the following. The fact that we've been through persecution, that's a persecution, that's a persecution. All of us in our own days, whether young or old, it doesn't make a difference. And the Rambam has a fundamental yesod. The yesod is that we don't have to worry. No matter all the ups and downs of Klal Yisrael, there's a haftocha. And the haftocha is not only will the Torah not be forgotten, but Klal Yisrael are invincible. Netzach Yisrael lo yishakesh, says the Rambam. That Netzach Yisrael is forever. Irrespective of what will happen in the verses of Mabasa, every shaman is going to remain. So here the Rambam, look at how he writes. I'm just going to underline a lot of it, but I'll just more or less summarize that page number five. We'll start with that, that there's going to be shmad in every generation. Every generation is going to be subjected to apostasy. Every generation is going to be challenged. Every generation, there will be enemies. And when Chazal say, halacha esav son of Yaakov, it doesn't make a difference whom it is, whether it's Haman or Russia, or whether it's in the days of Rome, or whether it's Bizmaneinu Anu, the Iranians, and the like, it's irrelevant. Every single generation is going to be subjected to Shmat. People want to destroy us. And he goes on to say in the first paragraph, they will not succeed. Rabas Tsraruni Minorurai Gam Lo Yochluli. We are untouchable. And the Atem Achenu goes on now in the second paragraph. Dushi Bizmanu Chanetzah Russia, Ikriach Menelgum Kulun Abed Abazor, that we know. Chanetzah attempted to literally somehow get the entire world to worship him, and the only three who were able to somehow emerge, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and then, of course, what happened to him? He went the way of all flesh. Empires have toppled. The emes is the Torah of Hashem is Barach. And he goes on about Yishenu with Malchus Yavod, all kinds of Xeros and Shmad, and we know Chil Shabbos and against Bris Mila, and the Kosu Kisul Hem Al Kerav Ashor Shein Lehem Chedu Nodke Yisrael, and it went on, Yachar Yachayin, Ibn Hashem Malchusam and Yimusam Yachad. They also went the way of all flesh. And Chazal says, Shmada Ovid the Batil, that's the nature of Shmad. Shmad exists of a temporary nature, and then it's going to eventually disappear. That's what Hashem, he says of Shad, which is found, by the way, the Sforno, a bit of a pella. The Sforno doesn't quote the Rambam in the Geras Tehillah. The Sforno says exactly the same trap in this third paragraph when Yaakov Avinu was told by Hashem, "V'hoya zeacha kafa oretz," which he interprets the Sforno. Well, we're going to be really, what is it? Almost down for a tactical knockout, TKO, in the first round. None, what does the pasuk say? Kafa oretz ufarasto yom v'kevu v'tzavonu v'negva. So the Rambam interprets that pasuk as well. That what's going to be the Sophia Natsubi Gabru. And he goes on, he actually sees the Pasuk Kipshuta. The Rambam, by the way, Absalomeji Hill, the Rambam was a Pashan, not just on Shas, even though he didn't write a Perish on Shas. But if you read the Mishnah Torah carefully, you can see that there are Chidushim all over the Mishnah Torah on Shas. And the Rambam was also Pashan on Tanakh. Actually, they've been collected already many times already. The Rambam's Pirushim, they took from Sukkim, how the Rambam interpreted Sukkim in Mishnah Torah, and they collected it together. And I say about Tanakh, here he has an example where he says very beautifully, the offer will remain, but the enemies who attempted to trample, to trot us on the foot, those enemies are going to be destroyed. And it goes on to explain Sukkim and Yishayahu as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going again, he's always with us. And now he says something which he repeats again and again on paragraph number four. Who is the guarantor for our existence? Who's the one who provides the collateral? Hashem is Barach. In a Malva Malva situation, in a loan, so there's a Malva, the one who lent the money, there's a borrower, neither a borrower nor a lender be, or lender be, said the borrower. My father happens to be into that. But whatever the case is, that one thing is clear, that there's sometimes also a need for a individual who serves as an Arev. Who is the Arev that Hashem is Barach is appointing, so to speak, in order to ensure that we will not at all, Rahman Litzan, we may be impacted, we may be jarred, we may be impacted and affected throughout Jewish history, no doubt about it. There have been karbonos, but at the end, lo nova v'lo nichla. Lo nechdam yosum hachashuv v'mu'ula. Ba'yusso remains invincible. K'moshe, and he has, what an analogy. K'moshe, yef shabitl matziah sabar yisaleh, kein lo yitohen, I'm going to say to him in oilom, there's no way that Ba'yusso is going to be destroyed. Ani Hashem lo shalisi, atev l'yakol lo chalisim. And Hashem promised us, it doesn't make a difference. Korma Hashem, because Psukim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told this, and Gemara Megillah on the bottom of the page, you can be Somech on Psukim in Tanakh, that would declare the idea of Netzach Yisrael. The fact that we're subjected to all kinds of terrorism, and who knows what. All of that is Lanaso Subatahir. It will lead us to a state of Tarah. Of course, who's going to emerge? Those that are strong, those that are maminin, those that are committed. And we'll be on the next page. And they are individuals. They are sometimes, unfortunately, maybe even a miut. And they are the ones that Amdu Avosim al Har Sinai, Vishomu Adiba Vipiagura, Beirul Yamino, the Bris Hashem, those who are committed, Vadok and Hashem is Barach. And then we come upon themselves, Nase Benishma, and Andoros Haboyim. And again, on line number five, we cry, Orem Lo Hashem is Barach. V'day Bo Orem. We can trust this Orem. We can't always trust every Orem, every co-signer for a loan. Hashem is Barach. Take him as a co-signer, and you're assured. V'odiyon Shikol Mishu'am V'vayim Nasina Ya'aminu B'Mesh Rabbeinu. That's also. It says, V'gam B'cho Ya'aminu Lo'elom. And he continues, L'kach Yibodah. Oh, anyone who left their faith, anyone who unfortunately and tragically left Klal Yisrael, clearly his forebears did not stand in Har Sinai. And he goes further, he quotes from Chazal, Hashem should preserve us from any subject, we shouldn't have any knowing doubts. And I remember one seeing that on the Havada Shmo came to Iloso. Where's that language from? For those who are Maminim, Hashem is Avada. No Bakum is stopping. No Sveikos. That's what he says here. Hashem should save us from somebody. Then he goes further, and this is the point I want to get to here in the middle of page 6. He says, Yisrael is scattered everywhere. I'm trying to be Mechazik you, and you should be Mechazik your children, your grandchildren. Hashem is one, the unity of Hashem. Moshe is his Novi MS. And all that which the Navi was zecher to, and the entire Sefer Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then in the middle, he writes the following: "Vizichu Maimon HaSinai." So the Rambam has Maimon HaSinai, but the question is, under what rubric did the Rambam count it? So I'll let you in a moment. You'll see where I'm headed for in a few moments. The Rambam counts it against the Ramban's taina on him. Ramban claimed the Rambam forgot to count it. He does count it, but the question is, does he count it as a separate line item in the mitzvah say and mosa say of the Ramban? The answer is no. So where does he count this? So let's read the 6 and 7, and we'll get the answer, I think, relatively quickly. V'zichu ma'amin ha'sina she'simon ha'shem v'zochon tamid. And we also, v'zivon v'shofeto, again, similar to the Ramban. But now let's forget ma'amin ha'sina, v'zivon v'odiyosu l'baneinu, achi yiglal yidiyosu. This is what we should somehow get across to our children when they're very, very young. This sense of ma'amin ha'sina. Same pasuk by the Ramban. That's how we should raise our children on this fantastic, kind of spectacular event. There's different gersos over here. There's another gersa, and it depends how you translate the Rambam. You know, the Rambam's letters were written in Arabic. And there are so many translations. I have five different translations of the Rambam. I looked at all of them. Years ago, I was there to meet Hagoyin of Esek Kapach inside the Rambam. Like I mentioned, I spent the Shabbos in near Machne Yehuda in 1971. I spent the Shabbos there. Remember, I spent the Shabbos in a home. He actually arranged it. Hagoyin of Kapach Satzal. I went to hear him. He was Drashot. He was another fantastic, giant, beyond belief, one of these Teimani giants, as a matter of fact, they collected astounding person, Kapach. They have, I have approximately 15 volumes. He collected Kisvei Yad from the Chachmei Teiman, the Meshech Hadorah. There are 30 volumes. I'm talking about Avekeres. Fat, fat volumes. Thousands of pages, tens of thousands of pages that he collected from all the Chachmei Teiman. We're not even familiar with that. Only there are great Sephardic Teimani Rabbanim who actually are somewhat familiar with it, and you're probably aware that many, many Sephardim passed in, those who are Teimanim especially, they pass on the Rambam. They're pretty directly connected to the Rambam in many, many ways. Anyway, so there are a number of different translations. I went to Peshabbos to his, to Bachad Yehuda, to his neighborhood. I found myself in a family, I think I mentioned this a few times, that had a lot of children. I said to myself, something here is, as my father would say, fishy in the state of Denmark. That's an expression. My father had all these expressions. I discovered there were three wives. That explains why there were so many children. There were scores of children in that home. But that was, of course, the grandfather clause. It happened in Tayman, where the father got married to a number of women. They're not into Cheder Gershom, etc. But it was very, very pleasant experience for me. I mean, there was a fair amount of how should we say, of dissonance in that house, which is Baruch Hashem natural for so many children. But it was obviously Zerah Berach, unbelievable. It was children that were really, with a bracha, you saw the unbelievable bracha over there. I was flabbergasted. I was a very young man. I was so taken aback, didn't know what was happening. I knew about bigamy. I thought there were laws against marrying more than one wife. That's what I was, at my young age, that's what I thought. I still think so. I think there's even a, if I'm not mistaken, even in the Israeli government, I believe there's such a law against bigamy, and not just in the U.S., I think in most Western countries, and I believe it's a chedav in the Gershom, but I had no asoda of who the Teimanim were all about. I didn't realize when this father was. It was such an experience for me. It was one of the most beautiful experiences I ever had. It was unbelievable. So he writes here, that's a, so one of the Gersols, is instead of what he writes here, translation, this is the translation of Rabbi Yitzhak Shilat. I'm going to say Shilat, who's a Rabbi Malia Dumim, an outstanding Talmud Chochem himself, a Talmud of Shem Zalman Oyevah, and a fantastic person. He wrote a lot, but I'm not to be aware of his writings. He actually annotated and edited the Igros HaAmman, the Rabbi Modevuchim, Kimat, a lot of the writings of the Rambam, he's a mumche godel, he's an other godel himself, and he's a mumche godel on the Rambam. So I took his text, because his text is the most madai text, the most scientific text. But other texts don't have the lashon that he writes here. Shehu kotev adas. The other text says, Shehu amud she'amuna sobeves alav. Ma'amin ha-Sinai is the amud ha-emuna, is the pillar of emuna. And then he writes further, if you believe in Ma'amin ha-Sinai, then you are into MS. And kisham al-yam b'rishayim, and then he goes on the bottom of the page, v'atav achim b'bris ha-zos, u'be'emuna ha-zos. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously, only one nation who was zeichet to this level of emuna. Look at the bottom paragraph, tizchazik ha-emuna, hizchazku sh'leishan b'shaneh. So emuna requires enormous amount of work. There are madregos, just like the Rambam writes, there are madregos b'nevuah, there are madregos b'emuna. I mentioned once here, for a few times, I heard of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that Tzal is the daughter of Shmuz in his Lichot, 1971, 72. So at that time, he said there were three great Bali Musar in his generation. Who were the three great Mashkichim? One was Avaleo Lopyan, that's Tzal, and he's the Mechaber of Swarm called Avaleo. And the second was Abchatzko Levinstein, who's Mashkich in Ponovich, the Mir Shiva actually in Europe, and then Ponovich, also Mechaber of Swarm. And the third was Avaleo Desla. Tzal Mitha Avaleo. So he said, I'm kind of the following. He said, Eina, the first one of them, Hakitok Musa Mitako, who the Tzvetok Mitok Musa with the head, who the Litim with the heart, like Rabban Yish. He said, one of them actually felt Musa with his hands, one of them felt Musa with his heart, and one with his intellect, with his head. Who's who? So he said the following, Rab Desla Mitako, with his head. Anyone who knows Mitha Avaleo, that sefer is an absolute, I don't know how to describe it. I would say it's intellectually something which is beyond the average individual. He essentially defines everything analytically in his own beautiful way. A lot of chidushim over there. Today there are many volumes. I think they translate to English as well, if I'm mistaken. I forgot what they call it. What do they call it in English?
Strive for Truth.
Strive for Truth. Is it a literal translation or it's just a... more paraphrasing, sure. But there are 7-8 volumes, including the letters of Rav Desla, that is kedai to read. So if you have little to do with yourself, which I'm sure that's not the case, it's kedai to go through Mitha Avaleo. The letters alone are a treasure, of the service in Torah and the like. And the second, of course, was the Lev Avaleo Lopyan. He was all hearts. And the one that is literally felt and moved with his hands was Agoyim Atzadik Abchatzko Levinstein, Mashiach Aponovich, Vahi Yodo Be'emuna Agoy HaShomesh, the Pesukim of Parshat B'Shalach. I was ready to meet him. Abchatzko Levinstein, I used to go to Aponovich, I used to go to Yiddish Shuvim Rav Shach. I went once a week. I used to travel around all over the country, all over Israel, in order to, I know you probably were pretty homebound in the yeshiva. What? He was Nifter later on. So he was Mashkiach and Panovich at that time. So I actually was zeichet to meet him at the Irish Museum a number of times. I didn't fully grasp what he was talking about. I was too young. I used to go to Rav Shach. That's a Panovich, which is a small yeshiva. There were maybe 300 guys in all yeshiva. Maybe. The Mir Yeshiva also had about 300 guys. Same thing as the Yoachim Shulevitz. And I went to other people as well. Anyway, here he writes that what is Ma'amad HaSinai? Amud HaEmuna. And then at the bottom of the page, just one more. And you look at the bottom of the page, page number 3, number 7, he says something here which is gorgeous. I just can't get past it. Ukradim shalom al-shalom, ha'uma li'isha yofa t'minas toya b'li mum. Ram takes Tukim Mashiach Shirim. And the Torah said, what is Klal Yisrael? We are the ideal, idyllic woman. Kulach yofa chayosi mum eibach. You know, the Ram has, he writes, both from Ranavuchim, the Ram also writes in Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Tshuva, Ramadan said, Shir Hashirim Moshol, the entire Shir Hashirim, even all the imagery that's found there, that many have misinterpreted and misconstrued, is a Moshol to the Ava between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's how the Ram interprets. Rashi understands Shir Hashirim. He learned Rashi, it's a historical allegory, leading to events that occurred in the Tzitzim. It's right, but Ram has a different, so here he again goes on and says, that's exactly what Klal Yisrael are. We are the Yofa Rayasi Amun Leimach, Vidima Elu Anshi Adosos Vemunos. What are all the other nations, all the other religions trying to do? They want to draw us into their religion, but their religion, the Rambam compares to religions that have gone astray. And he says, going on, but we are the ones who have this kulach yofa rayasi umum einbach. Yiddishkeit, Yahadut, is completely without a mum. And it's simchas machanayim. So therefore, how do I know that, says the Rambam? Maimon HaSinai. Maimon HaSinai, he writes the following. Asher hoya bo machane Yisrael wa machane Elokim zelo mazeh. Shuvi shuvi ha-shulam, shuvi shuvi menech zebo. Mach tetsu ba-shulam is kimchein machalayim. What is the shulamis? Shleim ha-mu'udah. Mechalas machanayim refers to the simcha Maimon HaSinai. Machane Yisrael, he quotes all kinds of psukim in Tanakh. And he has some very fascinating diukim. Shuvi shuvi mentioned four times. And in fact, why? Because there were many efforts that we should, unfortunately and tragically, assimilate and acculturate with the Umas HaElam, with the Arba Malfios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. And obviously, we continue to remain steadfast in our Amunah. Kilos Yitzchakim B'Pizam. And again, Nachum Ali writes here, Orev Lanu, the Rebbe Shalom is the Orev. He's the co-signer that we're not going to leave, we're not going to abandon Yiddishkeit, Yahadut. We're going to be Ma'aminim Hashem Yisbarach, and we're Ma'aminim Batera. And that's a bris. And then the bottom paragraph, we've been able to weather everything. No matter what happened in every generation, which is at the Sugi and Gittin, and the Medrash Chazal, Darish Shal Shmad, and then he goes on to say, despite all the ups and downs and zigzags, the historical zigzags that have occurred, says the Rambam, that there's no question, because of Maimon HaSinai, we remain steadfast. And again, the bottom paragraph, page 7, Hashem is Barach, the Daibo Ore. He keeps saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam is an Ore that you can rely on. There's an Amuna that remains for generations. Who Amor Yisali calls the Psukim, and therefore, essentially, to answer now the Kasha, that the Ramban ants on the Rambam, how come the Rambam didn't count Maimon HaSinai? He counted it. But according to the Rambam, on the one rubric is Maimon HaSinai belong? The answer is first pasuk in the Aser Sadibris. Andoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otseisich Me'arat Yisrael B'Savonim, which is the mitzvah of Emunah. Emunah and Hashem Yisbarach. Ramban here, even though he disagreed with the Rambam clearly indicates that Maimon HaSinai is the Amud HaEmunah. Shakol Sovemisalam. Everything revolves around Emunah. Emunah is the Yisod HaYisodis. And that's what we have to get across. And that's how we interpret the Rambam, as you see here, all the Psukim. And therefore, the Kasha that the Ramban asked on the Rambam, is answered very beautifully by the Rambam when the Rambam writes over here that Maimon HaSinai is the Yisod HaEmunah. I just want to perhaps end by referring to a comment that I heard a number of times from Rav Soloveitchik, and he often actually, when he spoke about the concept of Masera, and he spoke about the Rebbe Talmud relationship, which I believe comes dafka from Pashas Veschana, as opposed to Pashas Yisro. Rav Soloveitchik said that when he was a youth, growing up, a young man in Chasovich was in White Russia, his father was the Shtot Rav, his father was the Rav of the Chasovich, Lubavitcher Shtot, and the secretary of the Besen, who was a very old man, told him as a young boy that he recalled himself, this Zokain, that he recalled himself seeing as a young man a very old cousin when he was a child, was part of an itinerary choir that used to travel from town to town. They were wandering, going from town to town to Chazonis, and the cousin himself recalled that once when there was a choir, then he came part of the choir in Vilna to perform, so they saw a very imposing man, very tall, very handsome-looking person, and he was walking the streets surrounded by Talmidim in a semicircle. That's what Salvezi said over. And when he inquired who that imposing individual was, he was told that that was HaChassid B'Vilna. That was the Vilna Goy. The Goy actually, in his lifetime, was called the Chassid. I don't know, Chassid in the sense that we use it, obviously, but Chassid, it was some, whatever he did was a Dibashur Sadim. So, and then the question that was asked was, why is he in a semicircle? The answer is, that resembles Sanhedrin. So our Soloveitchik said that he met a man who had met another man, but another met another man who saw the gun, who saw the Vilna gun. So there was like a link between all the Duras, this unbelievable Masera. So again, as I just indicated, both Ramban and Rambam, even though they may disagree whether we count Maimon Hasina as a separate mitzvah or whether it's under the rubric of Emunah, but it's very clear the fundamental theme of the Torah here is the encounter with the Shekhinah. And the Ramban, by the way, Kesedar speaks about this in the Hakdamah to Sefer Shemais. Could I learn the Ramban's Hakdamah that every single Sefer is chock full, literally, Moli Vigodish, a lot of Yesedis, a lot of Lomdis as well, that the Ramban there explains in the introduction to his parish of Sefer Shemais. He points out the Sefer Gula. Why is it that we include the construction of the Mishkan? Why is that found after in Sefer Shemais? Lechora would have been more appropriately placed in Vayikra. The Vayikra deals with basically the Karbanos. Vayikra deals with all the halachas that have to do with the Beis Hamikdash, with the Mishkan. So the Ramban answers that initially Hashem, where was he? He was in the Ohel of the Avos. The Ohel of the Avos was the Mokam Hashchina, and the redemption from Mitzrayim was complete only when the Shechina once again dwelled in Klal Yisrael. And they were elevated to the Madrega, and he writes, whatever that means. But the fact of the matter is that at Sinai, that's what you have essentially, and this is the Shitas of Rabban Peredua. Rabban says the Mishkan equals Har Sinai. Essentially, Mishkan was an extension of Har Sinai. It had many halachic implications and many terminological implications as well. And the Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from the Lashon of the Baal HaGadol, Ilu kervanu l'chei Har Sinai v'nalasanu l'sa Torah dayenu. And Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, that would be sufficient. What's the purpose of coming to Har Sinai without receiving the Torah? The answer is the encounter with the Shekhinah, the Kedlus of Rokims. The entire experience of Har Sinai would have left its impression, the Roshem on the Neshama, the Netzach, forever. And that's the Yesod HaDvarim, which is certainly very, very significant. I'll just mention again, I heard from Rabbi Ginnak told this to me, Rabbi Menachem Ginnak from OU. So he told me that one summer, I was not there, so the Rav gave some shiurim on the Likutei Torah. The Rav was very into the Likutei Torah from Chabad. The Rav was a mumche godol in Chabad. He knew the Likutei Torah from Abahad. I heard him quoted many, many times. I once heard him quote the Tanya, Mila B'Mila, word for word. Similar to the way he would quote an Amman, Mila B'Mila, he quoted the Tanya, Mila B'Mila. So Rav Yerak told me that the Rav gave a few shiurim on the Likutei Torah, and he said it was important to study the Likutei Torah if one wanted to understand the grandeur of Rosh Hashanah. There's no way to do it without studying the Likutei Torah. That's what Soloveitchik contended. So then he wanted to continue saying the shiurim, and there were apparently an opposition. There was resistance to doing that among the Talmidim who were there. So then Soloveitchik related an apocryphal story. And this apocryphal story actually is written by the classical Hebrew author Yud Lamed Peretz, one of the Maskilim. And the Rav told the following story, that the story describes the encounter of Asalevich's great-grandfather, Beis Halevi, he's named after his great-grandfather, and the Biala Rebbe. Biala Rebbe was a former Talmud of the Beis Halevi. He became, but not more, he became a Hasidic Rebbe. I today have Talmidim that I meet from many, many years ago. They became Hasidim. I have Talmidim who are Bresba Hasidim, Talmidim who are Babish Hasidim, Baruch Hashem. And it's really amazing to see in the course of years, what happened. So the other Rebbe was, of course, full of passion. He all had a lot of religious fervor, a lot of ecstasy to him. So he cajoled his Rebbe, the Beis Halevi, to come visit the Rebbe at the gathering of the Rebbe's followers. There are different nuschos of the story, but I'm not getting to all the different nuschos right now. So the way Peretz, you'd love it, Peretz tells the story. What happened was, it was a winter, a fierce winter, but the Chassidim came, and all of a sudden, the snow melted, and suddenly the birds were chirping in the middle of winter. A harsh winter. A harsh European winter. But as a result of all the zemer of the chassidim and the warmth and the varmkeit, and apparently what happened was that the trees are blooming and the birds are chirping, and somehow there's a cold, Russian, ferocious, wintry kind of day was transformed through the simcha of the chassidim to an ecstasy into a bright spring day. And now Shkia was coming. The Beis Halevi, he had a profound and analytical mind. He was devoid of any kind of undisciplined emotion. That was not his thing. So he looked at his watch. He interrupted the Zemer to remind the audience that Higi Azman Lisbal Mincha, the time had come to Daven Mincha. And suddenly the spring faded and reverted to the cold winter. So Rav Soloveitchik looked at Rabbi Ginnack and said, "Das ist euch, that's you." In other words, what Rav Soloveitchik was trying to communicate, not just the logic of the Torah, but the passion of the Torah. Not just passion of Yisrael, but passion of Eskadim. But the Talmidim didn't have a full appreciation. Anyway, that's really, I believe, what passion of Eskadim is all about. One of the most beautiful passions of Chumash, and really one senses the Eish HaTorah. And that's what a Rebbe has to give up with his Talmidim. That's more significant than Fiyan Yisraeli than Pashas Yisrael. I'm not poo-pooing Dr. Mazenkis, Shlita, the value of Pashas Yisrael, the cognitive, normative element of Torah, but I am also indicating that there's another element that has to come with it, and that's the Eish HaTorah, Pashas Yisrael, and Halavai, all of us should constantly nurture and attempt to cultivate this Eish HaTorah, the Eish HaShem Yisbarah. With that Eish HaTorah, undoubtedly, we'll be able to not only ourselves be born aloft, but also, literally, we'll be able to transport our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Mitzvah Hashem, and that's what we're talking to heights of ecstasy. May be amen, or may be amen.
Stress, when you're self-inspired, a lot of mention of passion.